Vernomatic Productions.
This is Jarvis Leatherby from the heavy metal band Night Demon. You're listening to Metal Mayhem ROC with John, Vernomatic, Verno, and Southern Cal.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website, metalmayhemroc.com. Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
And now, welcome tonight's host, John the Vernomatic Verno.
Good evening, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well as we navigate our way through our favorite month of the year, Metal March. As always, new content drops every Thursday night. Tonight, Southern Cal and I welcome back old buddy Jarvis Leatherby of the band Night Demon. The band releases a brand new LP on this Friday called Outsider, brand new tour with veteran new wave of British heavy metal Titans Satan and Young Guns Haunt. That goes around the States. So we're going to talk about the new album, talk about the tour, and general history of metal discussion. It's a fun one. It's coming up in just a second. But first, remind you to get up to the MetalMayhemROC.com website, sign up for our newsletter, get updates on new podcast episodes, reminders on the Monday night radio show. Mark Zagatti, our staff reviewer, has weekly CD reviews. When we get on the road and see shows, we always leave reviews with audio commentary. So get up there, check it out. It's really informative. Download some past shows, rate, review, and subscribe. Recent episodes we had last week, Bobby Gustafson of Overkill talking about what he's up to in 2023. Steve Riley of Riley's LA Guns, they're releasing new material. So we went over some of the new singles. And Jesse Fink, author of the kick-ass book, Bon, The Last Highway, the story of Bon Scott's last couple years. So that's what's up on the website. Go back and check some of that out. We got Southern Cal on the line from Melbourne. Cal, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing good, Vern. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So tonight's interview is the Jarvis Leatherby of Night Demon interview. I had a great time in this discussion. What'd you take out of it?
A lot of information, a lot of interesting tidbits about the songs and the band relationships and the new tour coming up. Everything was great, and I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, this was fun because we spoke with Jarvis maybe 2 years ago, and at the time, you know, we were talking about, you know, the band. It was really a Cirith Ungol discussion because he's involved with Cirith Ungol, promoting them, playing with them. And we had a discussion in that discussion about Angel Witch and the new wave of British heavy metal bands. And before we went to air tonight with Jarvis in this interview, he remembered that, you know, which I thought was cool.
And the Rush shout out too. He remembered the Rush thing. So yeah, the Angel Witch was great. This is how good, you know, it's like we were just got done talking to a friend.
All right, so that's what we have tonight. We thank you for your support. For my co-host tonight, Southern Cal, I'm the Vernomatic. This is Metal Mayhem ROC. Our guest today has definitely flown the flag of traditional heavy metal for well over two decades. His band Night Demon set to release their third full-length EP or LP called Outsider on March 17th. Welcome back to the show, Jarvis Leatherby of Night Demon. Jarvis, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, good to see you guys.
I'd like you to say hello to our co-host tonight, Southern Cal. He's down in Melbourne, Florida.
Hello, Southern Cal from down under in Melbourne, Florida.
Welcome back, Jarvis. Thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Before we kick into the new one, and John and I have dissected it and we have a whole bunch of notes, this past spring we had a chance to speak with an old friend of yours, Dave Overkill from Destructor, and he gave us a little insight about the Demon Night beer that's floating around Cleveland. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, there's a Night Demon beer. It's made by a brewery called Goldhorn. It's the Darkest Remains IPA. It's very strong. It's like over 7%. We just did two nights in Cleveland back in September of last year, and they sold like 7 cases of this beer at the show. It got people pretty drunk pretty early. But yeah, you know, we've always been fan of doing all kinds of stuff like that. We have a hot sauce as well called Heavy Metal Heat from a company out in the Bay Area called Hella Hot Sauce. We have another beer called Beer of the Demon out of Casa Agria Brewery out of Southern Oxnard, California. So we're always looking to do collabs and stuff whenever these food companies or beverage companies have a good idea and their heart is in metal. It's like, you know, this stuff goes hand in hand, right? So we're no stranger to that. We like just making cool art for it, and it's a cool thing to have.
Oh, sure. And it seems like everyone's reinventing their brand, either whiskeys or beers or Cal, what was it? You did a Metal Minute on Twisted Sister doing makeup or something?
Yes, it was a palette by I believe Smashbox. Then they've done a whole bunch of different ones, and there was actually a Def Leppard one in there too.
Oh wow!
But I found that a lot of these bands, you know, the making the money off of selling albums and your music has almost become obsolete in this business. And a lot of bands are looking at merchandise, and an offspring of that is the beer and the whiskey. Metallica, of course, has theirs. I just got my case of Rush beer a month ago, special order, pre-order that stuff, Golden Ale. So, you know, not that Rush needs the money, but, you know, a lot of these bands are looking at other ways to bring in money to make a living doing this stuff, being that, the you know, you're almost giving your music away now.
Is the beer any good? Do you drink it, Jarvis?
I do. I think that both of them are pretty good.
Cool. Well, let's dive into the new one, Outsider. Third full length. Do I dare say a concept album? Tell us a little bit about it, the workings behind the scene.
Yeah, so, you know, our first two full lengths, they both started out as concept albums. They quickly veered off the tracks, and it's just such a difficult thing to do to make a good one, you know. And if it's not going to be good, then we're not going to really try and give it much of an attempt. I've written a few film scripts, and that's like kind of my passion outside of music is film and writing. And with this, you know, when the pandemic hit, we had all this time. All of a sudden, we had time to do stuff. And we had some concepts floating around, and the stuff we were writing musically was a lot more dramatic and had a lot more dynamics. And we thought, hey, let's try and, you know, I wrote another script, and like, let's try and fit this music to the story and see if we can actually do something from start to finish. And we were successful in doing it. And it's the biggest, like, you know, artistic statement that we've made so far. And yeah, I'm really, really proud of that fact. You know, I'm not a big fan of concept albums. I'm a big fan of good ones, and there's not many.
No, there isn't. Before we get in, let's talk about the imagery, the album cover. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, who did that?
So Don Fury, who's done all of our album covers, we have that kind of cohesive thing where we have the same guy do all of the album covers. He did it. And, you know, a lot of the stories that we write about in this band, you know, our mascots have a backstory. All the stuff you see in our artwork, they're based on actual physical locations that do exist. And we just put our own stories behind them, much like a H.P. Lovecraft would do or something like this. And this, it's the same scenario here. Everything you see on the album is based on a real physical place that I visited in Ireland. It's an abandoned church and graveyard that overlooks the sea and has this creepy road going up to it. So, you know, we find these places, or there's places that we've grown up around, and we kind of create these what-if stories about them.
That's what I was going to say, the cover of it. So it's an old church. It has, looks like a guy walking from the church. A hand is lit up there. It's nighttime. Very eerie, very impressionable. So
yeah, thanks.
seeing that this is like a sort of concept album, is there elements of the cover that pertain to the story of the album?
Yeah, all of it. Yeah. And okay. It's not a concept album. It is 100 and it's 1,000,000% a concept album from the first to the last note.
All right, cool. John, you want to lead off with a couple interpretations, some of the songs you dig?
Oh, I can tell you, my favorite right off the bat was The Wrath.
Nice.
Just the feeling from listening to it. It's a three-piece power band. It sounded like you guys are just hungry stuff. You're like not a new band because you guys have been around for quite a while, but that you can tell that hunger and that thirst for the metal is still there. And I felt like I got on a roller coaster ride. We took off. We were on this sick ride, and at the very end, because it's like you bring it back down, it's a slower ending to that song. It was like you were bringing us back down to earth gently. Just one great, great album. Definitely my favorite song on that, for sure.
Wow, thank you so much. Yeah, that's, you know, that Night Demon is known for having short songs. This is a concept album that's under 35 minutes in its entirety. The Wrath is one of the longest song in our catalog. I know you're a big Rush guy, and as a three-piece band who's gotten a lot more progressive like Night Demon has, we still like to make our songs pleasing to the ear. We're not more proggy now from a musician's standpoint. We're more just kind of trying to expand the mind of the listener without toying with them, if that makes any sense. My one critique of Rush is, and one of the reasons why they're not like probably one of my favorite bands is, you know, I respect the hell out of them, but a lot of prog rock stuff, it gets you to about 90% of the satisfaction. And then the last 10%, they take you away into something that a musician will go, whoa, that was cool and crazy. But, you know, there's a formula of music that's satisfying to the ear, and for us to have, we always want to deliver that payoff. And I think that's really what we were trying to do with the song called The Wrath. It's long, but it's a journey. It takes you to so many different places and it doesn't repeat itself.
And that's how I felt that listening to that whole song. It was just like being on a sick ride going 100 miles an hour and then easing it into the driveway coming home, yeah. You know. Great, great song.
Well, it is long, 7.5 minutes. But you talk about the flip side of that is that 1-2 punch of Rebirth and Escape from Beyond. These two songs, 3.5 minutes, they get in, they get out, they kick your ass. What are my notes? Rebirth, fast rocker, Dusty's drums, again, killer, and In the Pocket with Armand, and we'll talk about those two cats in a minute. Could see this in the live set.
And absolutely.
Escape from Beyond. Reminds me of a Maiden Out of the Silent Planet from Brave New World. The vocals there, it's and that's a compliment. I know, yeah. You guys are big Maiden fans. Are we going to see these songs in the set list? Because they're 3.5 a piece. Talk about these songs.
The idea is we're going to play 5 tracks of this album on the upcoming tour. We're only playing 50 minutes a night on this tour. So we're going to throw in some classics, but once we start doing headlining tours this summer, we're going to be playing the album in its entirety from start to finish. See, the thing is, we recorded the album live, and we wrote the album in a way where there's no silence and no breaks. It's meant as one whole piece to be played straight through. So, you know, if we play this album live in its entirety during a headlining set, we still have room for 12 more Night Demon classics. So, because our songs are shortened to the point. So I don't see it as a thing where, you know, when Maiden went out and did A Matter of Life and Death, where it's like, okay, well, you know, with the length of their songs, I mean, it was a great record, but like, you're really leaving a lot on the table for the fans. And we want to make sure that, you know, there's no misconception that you're going to go see Night Demon now, and they're just going to do Jazz Odyssey Volume 3. You know, it's like, no, we're still bringing what we had. We're just, this is a another addition to what we're doing live.
Oh, sure. And I don't want to spoil too much of the set, but as soon as I heard Prelude, I'm like, oh, of course, this is like a concert opener. You could totally feel it. You know, it builds it up, and then you punch right into Outsider. Let's talk about Outsider. Are you out of your comfort zone with that song? It's a little, dare I say, you know, radio friendly, but it's ballsy, catchy chorus. Talk about Outsider.
Well, I haven't seen the radio reports yet, but I hope somebody's up, you know, we'll see. I'll know on Monday, but, you know, I going back to writing scripts, I see concepts as more in more of a cinematic way. So when you look at things like that, it breaks down a lot of musical boundaries. So Outsider, the prelude is the intro. That's like the thing before the movie where you're like, whoa, something happens, right?
Yeah.
Outsider is like the opening credits or like the theme song, okay? So that's the way that it's built. And then you really get into the topsy-turvy of the story, right? So that's the way that I look at it right there, you know?
Well, last night at work, I was listening to the pre-release stuff that you guys sent us, listening to the whole album. I own my own restaurant. I work in a kitchen. I got a bunch of metalheads working for me.
Yeah.
So I jam it up for them, and we all listen to it. And I found myself about an hour and a half after we had listened to everything and we're just doing our thing, I was actually singing the chorus to that Outsider. It has a hook to it. Great, great first release from that
Thank
album. And like I said, I was singing the hook. It has the hook to it. So when you find yourself singing something.
Thank you so much. I mean, I like to think that most of the songs on this record kind of have that hook. We went for some pretty big choruses, and Outsider is a song where, you know, what's different about it is we start right on the chorus. It hits right away. So it's like, we wanted to just get to the point, you know?
Definitely.
Well, it got to the point.
Yeah.
Not to jump ahead on the finish line, but the last track, you know, you come off that whirlwind of, you know, of the long song, The Wrath, then The Last Day.
Okay, so listen, let me clarify this first. The Last Day is a bonus track for the compact disc version only. It's not part of this album, and I think it got serviced on the promos as that. And people think that because the song is called The Last Day. I guess it would make sense, right? The story of that song is Decibel Magazine put out a Flexi Vinyl series last year. They asked us to do an exclusive song. They wanted a 6-month exclusive on it. We wrote that song about like the last day on earth is the premise of that song. And it's never been out on compact disc. The fans really like it. And it's basically a way for the record company to sell more of a dying format. You know, you put that bonus track on there.
Okay.
There you go. Right. So I want to clarify that.
That makes sense because honestly, I'm like, you just got done with that song. And then this one just like, it almost like starts up again. And it's like, meh, you know, the sequencing wasn't right, but it makes sense.
Yeah. Some people that have heard it, some journalists that have heard it that did think it was last track actually liked that. They liked that it went into that. But look, it's all open to interpretation, right? But that's the real story. So that's null and void to the Outsider story, that song, you know?
I thought the drums on that were fucking sick.
Dusty
was just nailing the fills and everything in that. That was my big note on that song. Great drumming from Dusty. Is that Dusty Shoes? The one you call Dusty Shoes?
Dusty Squires.
I thought you had mentioned the last time we talked about someone you were calling Dusty Shoes.
No, I think Dave was Dave Overkill was calling him
right.
Dusty
that's
Shoes.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, that guy loves you, man.
Dusty bottoms, dusty shoes.
He's great.
Talk about the new relationship with Armand. Now, in the previous albums, he really didn't write. Is this the first album that he contributed writing with?
Yeah. On the singles that we put out in 2020, those were kind of the first songs that we wrote together with him. So he had 4 tracks under his belt, but you know, I mean, he's been a part of the story from the beginning. He was the engineer and producer from the first EP on. So he's always been part of the story in the background, you know, and he wrote a lot. He helped write a lot of the guitar solos in the early days and some clean guitar passages. So really, he doesn't get enough credit for that. And that's not well known. So I'm glad to shine a light on that here.
Yeah, well, you know, the not getting into the whole back history of the band, but him and Dusty were in a band before that, and Dusty took over for the original drummer. And yeah, so you're right. It's, you know, he's always been around it.
It's funny when you break down the history of bands and band members, like, yeah, you see how incestuous things are and how things move along like this, you know, but it's the same old story with us, man.
Oh, yeah. Talk about the tour. Starts the 17th, the Hell's Decibel tour with Satan. Now, when we spoke with Armand last in the spring, when we were doing some press for the singles collection, he said there was a tour that had to get scrapped. Why Satan? You guys don't share a label? Are you big-time friends? How did that tour stay intact and finally executed?
I manage them.
Oh, okay.
So that's the easiest way to put it. And you know, the thing is, like, you know, we've been friends long before I've been managing them since 2018. But long before that, we were friends and we had played together many times on many festivals in Europe. And you know, the thing is, when you are these days, it's much easier to keep things together and to strengthen tours like this when you have a hand in what other bands are doing. So it's kind of like keeping the family together, and we all together are stronger than apart, right? And so we have a way of making things a lot more successful, like when we band resources together. I mean, the road crew for Night Demon, I hire for every Satan tour when they're available, when we're not on tour. So this is great. We get to share a crew now. We're sharing a tour bus together. You know, it's the best thing that we could do. And this tour was supposed to happen in the spring of 2020. So I really did hang on to it. We didn't reschedule it even once. We weren't one of those tours that rescheduled four times and then, you know, retired. So, you know, like this is an important one.
If there was one band I would never have expected to come here and tour in America, it would be Satan. I love that band.
Right.
Great band. And I'm so glad you're bringing them over here. I was familiar that you had involvement with them. And again, you're presented on as a united front for you guys. And I'm going to try to check out the Cleveland show. Unfortunately, there's no shows down in the Southeast area.
Yeah.
But just to see not only Night Demon alone, to see Satan of all bands, that's like one of those, that's rarefied air here in America. And I wish more bands from over there would try to get over here and do some touring.
Well, it takes a commitment, and it takes, I mean, I'm not toot my own horn, but sometimes it takes somebody like me to, like, you know, there's a lot of work that I've put into this, right? So it takes a commitment from multiple people, and then it takes the band to commit to doing it. And the great thing about them is you have the same five guys from the 1983 Court in the Act era. I mean, it's incredible. I can't say that about any band from that era as even, I don't know, more than one or two members still left.
Right.
You've got a whole big band. And so it's if you can catch it, get it now.
Yeah, definitely going to try to make the Cleveland show.
Yeah, that'll be
Jarvis,
great.
Jarvis, we're respectful of your time. You know, you got a tight schedule.
Yeah.
Quickly just talk about the third band, Haunt, on the bill.
Yeah, they're on my label. They are great. As far as the new wave of traditional heavy metal goes, they're definitely in the top five bands. They were putting out like two records a year. You know, they've only been around since, I think, 2017. But they're very prolific and really, really kick-ass band. It's a very strong package. My label is Iron Grip, and I just do, you know, just heavy metal releases that I love. A lot of reissues and stuff of classic records and, like, just newer bands and back catalog that bands that I manage own, you know, just kind of keep doing my small part here, you know?
You are doing your part, but, you know, that's awesome. So I'm going to let John take a quick walk down heavy metal memory lane with you, and then we'll let you get going.
First of all, I just want to, you know, wish you the best of luck on this tour with Satan and Haunt. Thank you again for bringing them over here. I'm going to try to catch that Cleveland show. Heavy metal needs more people like you in it, Jarvis, doing these things. You're flying that flag 24 hours a day. It's great for us fans and the industry itself. I think the last time we talked, we did talk a little bit about Angel Witch, one of my most favorite bands. Do you still managing them? Or are you still involved with them?
Yeah, I've never managed them, to be clear. I did re-release the first record last year, or sorry, 2021. I'm close with the band. The bass player, who is their manager, Will Palmer, is actually Night Demon's UK publicist.
Yeah, right. I mean,
the heavy metal world just—it's worldwide, but it's very tight and connected, and like we all wear a lot of hats, you know. So there's Will Palmer is another kind of Jarvis in his own right in his world. He's got a label too, and he works for Metalate, and he's the one who got Angel Witch back together, and he plays with them on stage, and he's a great publicist. So it's like you know, we're all kind of involved together at some point down the line. It's inevitable. The ones that stick around and the ones that are going out and blazing new trails, we all end up congregating and finding each other and finding some way to work together. And it's really great because when you grow up being inspired by something and then you can be a part of their story at some point, that's the most gratifying thing for me, you know.
To another guy too, and when I have a little segment in the show, it's called the Metal Minute. We present some news stories, and every now and then at the end of that, I like to pose the question, has anybody seen or heard anything? And we offer a reward of a Metal Mayhem ROC t-shirt to our listener. Anybody with information about Zeeb Parks?
Yes.
Woodbinder General.
Yeah, right. So I was actually approached in late 2021 with the potential opportunity to sing for the band. I did sing for Jaguar for a while, which was great. And somebody had said, hey, I know you can pull off those Witchfinder vocals. And I go, well, hold on, you know? So I was in touch with the original guitarist, and Zeeb is not involved at all anymore. Hasn't for a long time. He's around. Supposedly he's had some kind of criminal charges. I'm not going to say what it is, but he was kind of the first one to be canceled like 20 years ago, right? I'll give you one piece of information that you probably don't know and not a lot of people know. For the past decade, the band, I think, rehearses weekly.
Wow.
But I have offered them in the last year, through a mutual friend of mine, a five-figure guarantee in the higher five figures too. So higher than the first level. I'm not going to say how much, to reunite and to play a show. And I think they're just jamming weekly for the last decade to have fun. They don't want to play gigs. So that offer is on the table. And if you guys are listening, you know how to get a hold of me.
That's interesting you say that, because this fall, Metal Mayhem ROC, we promoted and brought Raven to Rochester. Raven and Riot Act. And it was a great show. We had a couple strong locals. And when the itinerary came out, I looked at it and I was going to reach out to possibly get you to, you know, Rochester. And there was just no wiggle room. You guys are playing every single night.
Yeah.
But that led me. So if you're talking about, you know, possibly, we'd love to get you up here. We'll see what happens.
Come back. We haven't been there. We played the Bug Jar in 2016. That's the last time we were there. No, 2015.
I went down into the Vertimatics vault and I brought out this exterminator tour. This was in Syracuse.
Yep. That was our first. Our first full U.S. tour, Raven took us out on our first tour. So we've played about 60 plus shows with them worldwide to date, and they're still close friends of ours. So,
yes, Mark Gallagher's birthday yesterday. So
happy birthday, Mark. Thank you guys for also flying the flag high. We all do this together, and with strength in numbers, that's how we win. I will ask you, if you guys can, please email me audio and video for this interview if you can. We'd like to reuse some of it for our podcast if that's possible.
Jarvis, thank you again for doing this tour and sticking with it. Satan is it's huge. Night Demon Haunt. Just an awesome tour. Best of luck on everything. That starts on March 17th. It runs till April 11th. Like I said, I'm going to definitely try to catch that Cleveland show. That's probably the only one that's doable for me. So hope we'll see you up there.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jarvis. Take care.
Metal for life.
Thank you for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our website at metalmayhemroc.com for information on podcasts, archives, links to all our live radio shows, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone, even your non-metal friends. And always remember to keep it heavy.